Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. From the Mideast to the Midwest now, let's check in on the ripple effects of the drought affecting much of the middle of our country and even parts of upstate New York in the Finger Lakes region where wine producers are being affected. We can do so with some of your calls. We know many of you have a connection to the Midwest. Call and tell us what you're hearing from friends and family in the drought-stricken parts of the country. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Know anyone with a farm who works on a farm or who owns stock in a huge agribusiness in the Middle West or a grocery store? Maybe you own a grocery store here in the East Coast and want to talk about how the drought is affecting your food supply or prices. If you've got a story about the drought, the personal effects on anyone you know, the ripple effects as you know them, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And as your calls are coming in, here is NPR's food and agriculture correspondent, Dan Charles. Dan, thanks so much for coming on WNYC today. Hi there.
It's a pleasure. Thanks.
So I'm looking at a drought map released by the U.S. Department of Agriculture last week. Listeners, we posted this on our webpage in case you want to see it, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So you would see that red is severe drought. Lighter orange is moderate, and to be perfectly honest, it's probably easier to talk about the parts of the country that aren't in drought than the ones that are, because, Dan, this is exceptionally widespread right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's all over the Midwest. You know, people have different comparisons for how bad it is. Some people say it's the worst since, you know, some years in the 80s. It may be worse than that. It's not as bad as some droughts back in the 50s, which were a drought back in the 50s, which was a multi-year drought. But this is certainly a very, very big drought.
And the stat that we saw as of Friday, at least 64% of the contiguous 48 states is now affected by moderate to severe drought, two-thirds of the country, excluding Alaska and Hawaii. And last week, temperatures reached 100 degrees or higher every day in much of the Great Plains. These are also areas that have seen very little rain, in some places none in over a month. So that's what's the primary culprit? Is it heat or a lack of moisture that's affecting the crops?
It's mostly lack of moisture. I mean, the heat really hurts, too, but it's mostly lack of moisture. The USDA every week puts out a crop progress report. The next one is actually due out this afternoon, so we'll see what the latest numbers are. But last week, their numbers for the corn crop, which is, you know, the biggest American agricultural crop, and it's the dominant crop across most of the area that we're talking about, they said 45% of the crop was in poor or very poor condition. Those are the worst numbers we've seen in decades.
And we should say that is not just about ears of corn on your summer plate. This is livestock feed that most of the corn goes to. So it's really going to affect meat prices, even though we're talking about corn crops, correct?
Right. See, this is, you know, it's kind of a moment where we can stop and learn a little something about the structure of American agriculture.
Uh-huh.
You know? Because, you know, we call it the breadbasket of America. I mean, yeah, I guess we could call it the meat basket of America. I mean, the two biggest crops in the country are corn and soybeans. Corn is the biggest. And of that corn crop, you know, you can say roughly 40% goes to feed animals, 40% goes to ethanol plants, which goes in your fuel tank. And the rest, it's mixed up between exports and, you know, some, you know, food ingredients, corn going into corn sweetener production, that kind of thing.
So Mayor Bloomberg will be unhappy, or maybe happy, to know that even without his intervention, soda prices might go up. the corn sweetened soda prices as a result of this. And also, this is not necessarily right now. We noticed that the prices being discussed for meat are what they call for December delivery, because it takes time for this to get through the pipeline. Peter in Newark, you're on WNYC. Peter, thanks for calling in.
Good morning.
So you went to Iowa, I understand.
I just got back from a trip yesterday, as a matter of fact, to eastern Iowa, out by Cedar Rapids, and a little bit of a contrarian view. It's not quite as bad as the media had made it out. I played golf on a course that overlooks farm fields in all directions and was expecting to see, you know, barren, brown, dead farm fields, especially in an area that's reputed for its corn. And it was certainly brown in some areas, but noticeably green. And a local agronomist that I was talking to mentioned that there was enough latent moisture in the soil that at least the harvest was sustainable, that the yields were still okay and not quite as bad as the media was making it out to be.
And I'm sure the golf course you were on was very well watered, right?
Unfortunately, that was reflected in the price of the greens.
Peter, thank you very much. Well, what about this concept, Dan Charles, of latent moisture? Is that a thing?
Sure. No, absolutely. And, you know, it is true. I mean, we shouldn't be painting this in, like, Dust Bowl kind of colors. You know, the corn crop will be bad. I was out in Indiana. A lot of places were saying they, you know, were going to harvest half a crop. But still, half a crop is not no crop. And it does vary very much. Just, you know, in a very small scale, you drive down the road and one field will be really bad and another field will be better just because of the way the water drains or because they may have had kind of a local thunderstorm come through. But the overall impact, it is going to be a short corn crop. And that's baked in at this point. The numbers cannot go up. They can only go down if the drought continues.
Sean in Howell, New Jersey. Hi, Sean. You're on the air.
How you doing, guys? I'm sort of like an amateur agriculturalist. In the area in New Jersey where I live, we have a lot of corn crop growing and stuff like that. We haven't been hit by the drought. What we used to have, I think, in the country is a lot more land diversity where one section of the nation could make up for deficits in other sections. But over the last 40 or 50 years, we have developed so much farmland into homes and businesses that we have lost diversity because we believed in the yields being made up by increases, in yields by the super crops and things like that. So we've taken a lot of land out of production. But when the land that's left is in one area and that area gets hit by a terrible drought, we really suffer from not having the land diversity of states that may not be in a drought but have turned their farmlands over to other uses.
I'm glad you brought that up. So Dan Charles, agriculture correspondent for NPR, do you think that that's true? Does science indicate that the severity of this drought is in a certain way man-made? Or the severity of the effects of the drought, I should say.
Yeah, I've forgotten the name. What the caller was, you know, sort of referring to is the increasing specialization, you know, I think, of, you know, agricultural production. So we ship food from one place to another, and particular areas get specialized in, you know, production of one commodity. You know, so much of our fruits and vegetables come out of California these days, and that has increased in recent years. You know, the corn and soybeans out of the Midwest. And that's, you know, happened on a global scale, too. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, could that leave us more vulnerable to a weather event in one of those areas where, you know, the production's been specialized? Maybe so. Maybe so. I don't exactly think that that's happening this year with this drought. You know, in a way, the global trade is lessening the effect because livestock producers, particularly on the East Coast or in the Southeast, they're talking about now bringing in corn from Brazil, you know, which has become a major, major producer, particularly of soybeans and also corn. So that's actually, you know, they have options that they wouldn't have had decades ago.
That's pretty bad if the U.S. is starting to have to import corn with as much corn as we grow here. Let's get one more caller on, Chip in Highland Park, who has a cousin in Colorado. Hi, Chip. We have about 30 seconds for you. What are you hearing?
Wild story. In June, I talked to my cousin. I heard there were eight major wildfires. He said, let me tell you about one of them. He lives south of Denver. Guy's driving along the road there. He gets a flat tire. Pulls over to the shoulder. Tries to drive to get to a shady spot. He can change his tire. The metal wheel on the asphalt hits sparks, which catch some dry weeds. The whole state of Colorado is in a severe drought. Within 8 hours, 45,000 acres, just shy of 70 square miles, go up in flames. I said, Jim, I don't know if I can buy that or not. He said, Chip, you know me, I don't BS. Look it up.
There you go.
Is that a wild story or what?
Thank you very much. It is dry out there, that's for sure. Dan, just before you go, real quick, I gather there are parts of the country that are benefiting from the drought in the Midwest. I read a piece about South Carolina farmers who may profit because they're not in drought, and so their crops are doing relatively well, and maybe they're going to get, you know, higher paydays as a result of the shortage in the Midwest.
That's certainly true. That's certainly true. I mean, the best combination for you as a farmer is not when you have a big crop and everybody else does, because then prices go down. What's the best situation is if you have a nice big crop and everybody else gets hit by a drought. So there will be certainly places that are going to benefit from high prices. And if they are in a good weather spot, they're going to do very well this year.
And just tell me one thing real quick. Global warming. As you report on these farmers and people out in the farm belt, are people who may constitutionally be, I don't mean U.S. Constitution, I mean their political makeups may be to be skeptics about things like dire warnings regarding climate change. Are they looking around them and saying, yeah, I'm starting to believe this after year after year?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, it's it's really hard to say. But I it is true. I was with a farmer last week in Indiana, and he may have anyway, but, you know, he pulled out a chart of likely effects down the road of global warming on the nation's agricultural area. Yeah. So I think it is something that does occur to people.
Well, we look forward to the new breadbasket in the Yukon. I'm just kidding. Dan Charles, food and agriculture correspondent for NPR. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And listeners with ties to the Midwest, thank you for your calls. Coming up next, New York City schools aim for more mainstreaming of special ed students. Stay with us.